The Prophecies. The torch of the resurrection now sheds its light from the ambo throughout the holy place and gladdens the hearts of the faithful. How solemn a preparation for what is now to engage our attention, viz. The baptism of the catechumens, whose instruction and progress in good works we have followed with such interest during the past 40 days. They are assembled together under the outward porch of the church. The priests are performing over them the preparatory rites, which embody such profound teaching, and which were instituted by the apostles. First of all, the sign of the cross was made upon their foreheads, and then the priest, imposing his hand upon the head of each catechumen, adjures Satan to depart from this soul and body, and give place to Christ. Imitating thus our Redeemer, the priest then touches the ears with his spittle, saying, "Be ye opened." He does the same to the nostrils and says, "Breathe ye in the sweetness of fragrance." The neophyte is next anointed, on the breast and between the shoulders, with the oil of catechumens. But as this ceremony expresses his having to fight the spiritual combat, the priest first receives from him the promise to renounce Satan with his works and pomps. These rites are performed first over the men and then over the women. The children of Christian parents are also admitted to take their place among the catechumens. If any of these latter be laboring under any sickness and have notwithstanding come to the church in order to receive tonight the grace of regeneration, the priest says over them a prayer, in which he fervently begs of God to heal them and confound the malice of Satan. These ceremonies, which are called the catechization, occupy a considerable portion of time, on account of the great number of the aspirants to baptism. It is for this reason that the bishop came to the church at the hour of noon, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and that the great vigil began so early. Whilst these rites are being administered to the catechumens, the rest of the faithful are listening to appropriate passages from the Scripture, which are being read from the ambo, and which are the complement to the Lenten instructions. These lessons are 12 in number, but in the venerable basilica, where we are now supposing ourselves to be, we may say there are 24, since each of the 12 is read in Latin first, and then in Greek. In order to fix the attention, and excite the devotion of her children to what she reads to them, the church, after each lesson, recites a prayer, which sums up the doctrine expressed in the preceding prophecy. To some of them is added an appropriate canticle from the Old Testament, and it is sung by the whole assembly to the well-known melody of the tract. The aspirants to baptism, as soon as they have received the ceremonies of catechization, are allowed to enter the church, where, in the place assigned to them, they listen to the lessons and join in the prayers. How could they better continue their preparation for the great sacrament? And yet, there is an aspect of mournfulness about this portion of the service, which tells us that the longed-for hour has not yet come. Frequent genuflections and the somber-colored vestments strongly contrast with the beautiful flame of the paschal torch, which sheds its silent beams of light upon the faithful. Their hearts are still throbbing with the emotions excited within them by the Exultet. They are impatient to see their Jesus' resurrection fulfilled in the baptism of the catechumens. First Prophecy, Genesis chapter 1. This first lesson speaks to us of the creation, of the Spirit of God moving over the waters, of the separation of light from darkness, and of man's being made to the likeness of his God. This work of the Creator had been deranged and spoiled by Satan's malice. The time has come when it is to recover all its beauty. The Holy Ghost is about to effect this regeneration by water. Christ, our light, is going to rise from the darkness of the tomb. The image of God is to reappear in man, for he is to be cleansed by the blood of his Redeemer, who is the new Adam, come down from heaven in order to reinstate in all his rights the old and earthly Adam. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth, and the earth was void and empty, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved over the waters. And God said, "Be light made," and light was made. And God saw the light that it was good, and he divided the light from the darkness, and he called the light day, and the darkness night. And there was evening and morning one day. And God said, "Let there be a firmament made amidst the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made a firmament, and divided the waters that were under the firmament from those that were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and morning were the second day. God also said, "Let the waters that are under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so done. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And he said, "Let the earth bring forth the green herb, and such as may seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, which may have seed in itself upon the earth." And it was so done. And the earth brought forth the green herb, and such as yieldeth seed according to its kind, and the tree that beareth fruit, having seed each one according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights made in the firmament of heaven, to divide the day and the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, to shine in the firmament of heaven and to give light upon the earth." And it was so done. And God made two great lights, a greater light to rule the day and a lesser light to rule the night and the stars. And he set them in the firmament of heaven to shine upon the earth, and to rule the day and the night, and to divide the light and the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and morning were the fourth day. God also said, "Let the waters bring forth the creeping creature having life, and the fowl that may fly over the earth under the firmament of heaven." And God created the great whales, and every living and moving creature, which the waters brought forth, according to their kinds, and every winged fowl according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And he blessed them, saying, "Increase and multiply, and fill the waters of the sea, and let the birds be multiplied upon the earth." And the evening and morning were the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature of its kind, cattle and creeping things, the beasts of the earth according to their kinds." And it was so done. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and cattle, and everything that creepeth on the earth after its kind. And God saw that it was good. And he said, "Let us make man to our image and likeness, and let him have dominion over the fishes of the sea, and the fowls of the air, and the beasts, and the whole earth, and every creeping creature that moveth upon the earth." And God created man to his own image. To the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. And God blessed them, saying, "Increase and multiply and fill the earth, and subdue it, and rule over the fishes of the sea, and the fowls of the air, and all living creatures that move upon the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed upon the earth, and all trees that have in themselves seed of their own kind, to be your meat. And to all beasts of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to all that move upon the earth, and wherein there is life, that they may have to feed upon. And it was so done. And God saw all the things that he had made, and they were very good. And the evening and morning were the sixth day. So the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the furniture of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. After the lesson, the bishop says, Let us pray. The deacon addressing the faithful, Let us kneel down. The subdeacon, Stand up again. The bishop then says this prayer, O God, who didst wonderfully create man, and redeem him by a still greater wonder, grant us, we beseech thee, such strength of mind and reason against all the allurements of sin, that we may deserve to obtain eternal joys. Amen. Second Prophecy, Genesis chapter 5. The second lesson gives us the history of the deluge. God makes the waters serve as the ministers of his justice, those very waters which were afterwards, by Jesus, to become the instrument of his mercy. The ark, which is a type of the church, is the shelter for those who would be saved from the flood. The human race is preserved by one family, which represents the disciples of Christ, who at first were few in number, but afterwards peopled the whole earth. And Noah, when he was 500 years old, begot Sem, Cham, and Japheth. And after that, men began to be multiplied upon the earth, and daughters were born to them. The sons of God, seeing the daughters of men, that they were fair, took to themselves wives of all which they chose. And God said, My spirit shall not remain in man forever, because he is flesh, and his days shall be 120 years. Now giants were upon the earth in those days, for after the sons of God went in to the daughters of men, and they brought forth children, these are the mighty men of old, men of renown. And God, seeing that the wickedness of men was great on the earth, and that the thought of their heart was bent upon evil at all times, it repented him that he had made man on the earth. And being touched inwardly with sorrow of heart, he said, I will destroy man whom I have created, from the face of the earth, from man even to beasts, from the creeping thing even to the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace before the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just and perfect man in his generations. He walked with God, and he begot three sons, Sem, Cham, and Japheth. And the earth was corrupted before God, and was filled with iniquity. And when God had seen that the earth was corrupted, for all flesh had corrupted its way upon the earth, he said to Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, and the earth is filled with iniquity through them, and I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of timber planks. Thou shalt make little rooms in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and without. And thus shalt thou make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits. And the height of it 30 cubits. Thou shalt make a window in the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish the top of it. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side, with lower, middle chambers, and third stories shalt thou make it. Behold, I will bring the waters of a great flood upon the earth, to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life, under heaven. All things that are in the earth shall be consumed, and I will establish my covenant with thee. And thou shalt enter into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife, and the wives of thy sons with thee. And of every living creature of all flesh, thou shalt bring two of a sort into the ark, that they may live with thee, of the male sex and the female, of fowls according to their kind, and of beasts in their kind, and of everything that creepeth on the earth according to its kind. Two of every sort shall go in with thee, that they may live. Thou shalt take unto thee of all food that may be eaten, and thou shalt lay it up with thee, and it shall be food for thee and them. And Noah did all things which God commanded him. And he was 600 years old when the waters of the flood overflowed the earth. All the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the floodgates of heaven were opened, and the rain fell upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day, Noah and Sem and Cham and Japheth, his sons, his wife, and the three wives of his sons with them, went into the ark, they and every beast according to its kind, and all the cattle in their kind, and everything that moveth upon the earth according to its kind, and every fowl according to its kind, all birds, and all that fly. And the ark was carried upon the waters, and the waters prevailed beyond measure upon the earth, and all the high mountains under the whole heaven were covered. The water was 15 cubits higher than the mountains which it covered. And all flesh was destroyed that moved upon the earth, both of fowl, and of cattle, and of beasts, and of all creeping things that creep upon the earth. And Noah only remained, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. And God remembered Noah, and all the living creatures, and all the cattle which were with him in the ark, and brought a wind upon the earth, and the waters were abated. The fountains also of the deep, and the floodgates of heaven were shut up, and the rain from heaven was restrained, and the waters returned from off the earth, going and coming, and they began to be abated after 150 days. And after that 40 days were past, Noah, opening the window of the ark which he had made, sent forth a raven, which went forth and did not return till the waters were dried up upon the earth. He sent forth also a dove after him, to see if the waters had now ceased upon the face of the earth. But she, not finding where her foot might rest, returned to him into the ark, for the waters were upon the whole earth. And he put forth his hand and caught her, and brought her into the ark. And having waited yet 7 other days, he again sent forth the dove out of the ark. And she came to him in the evening, carrying a bough of an olive tree, with green leaves in her mouth. Noah therefore understood that the waters were ceased upon the earth. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and he sent forth the dove, which returned not any more unto him. And God spoke to Noah, saying, Go out of the ark, thou and thy wife, thy sons, and the wives of thy sons with thee. All living things that are with thee of all flesh, as well in fowls, as in beasts, and all creeping things that creep upon the earth, bring out with thee, and go ye upon the earth, increase and multiply upon it. So Noah went out, he and his sons, his wife, and the wives of his sons with him, and all living things, and cattle, and creeping things that creep upon the earth according to their kinds, went out of the ark. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and taking of all cattle and fowls that were clean, offered holocausts upon the altar. and the Lord smelled a sweet savor. Let us pray. Let us kneel down. Stand up again. O God, whose power is unchangeable, and whose light never faileth, mercifully regard the wonderful sacrament of thy whole church, and by an effect of thy perpetual providence, accomplish in peace the work of human salvation, and let the whole world experience and see that what was fallen is raised up again, what was old is become new, and that all things are again settled by him who gave them their first being, our Lord Jesus Christ, thy Son. Amen. Third Prophecy, Genesis chapter 22. Abraham, the father of believers, is here offered to our catechumens as a model of faith. They are taught how man should ever depend upon his God and faithfully serve him. The obedience shown by Isaac to his father's orders is a figure of that which our Savior has shown on Calvary. The wood for the Holocaust, carried up the mountain by Abraham's son, brings to our minds the Son of God carrying his cross. In those days, God tempted Abraham and said to him, "Abraham, Abraham," and he answered, "Here I am." He said to him, "Take thy only begotten son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and go into the land of vision, and there thou shalt offer him for a holocaust upon one of the mountains, which I will shew thee." So Abraham, rising up in the night, saddled his ass, and took with him two young men, and Isaac his son. And when he had cut wood for the holocaust, he went his way to the place which God had commanded him. And on the third day, lifting up his eyes, he saw the place afar off. And he said to his young men, "Stay you here with the ass. I and the boy will go with speed as far as yonder, and after we have worshipped, we'll return to you." And he took the wood for the holocaust and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he himself carried in his hands fire and a sword. And as they two went on together, Isaac said to his father, "My father." And he answered, "What wilt thou, son?" "Behold," saith he, "fire and wood. Where is the victim for the holocaust?" And Abraham said, "God will provide himself a victim for a holocaust, my son." So they went on together, and they came to the place which God had shewn him, where he built an altar, and laid the wood in order upon it. And when he had bound Isaac his son, he laid him on the altar, upon the pile of wood. And he put forth his hand, and took the sword to sacrifice his son. And behold, an angel of the Lord from heaven called to him, saying, "Abraham, Abraham." And he answered, "Here I am." And he said to him, "Lay not thy hand upon the boy, neither do thou anything to him. Now I know that thou fearest God, and hast not spared thy only begotten son for my sake." Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw behind his back a ram amongst the briars, sticking fast by the horns, which he took and offered for a holocaust instead of his son. And he called the name of that place, "The Lord Seeth," whereupon even to this day it is said, "In the mountain the Lord will see." And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven, saying, "By my own self have I sworn, saith the Lord, because thou hast done this thing, and hast not spared thy only begotten son for my sake, I will bless thee, and I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand that is by the seashore. Thy seed shall possess the gates of their enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." Abraham returned to his young men, and they went to Beersheba together, and he dwelt there. Let us pray. Let us kneel down. Stand up again. O God, the sovereign Father of the faithful, who throughout the whole world multipliest the children of the promise by the grace of thy adoption, and makest thy servant Abraham, according to thy oath, the father of all nations by this paschal sacrament, grant that thy people may worthily receive the grace of thy vocation. Amen. Fourth Prophecy, Exodus chapter 14. Here we have the great type of baptism. The people of God, delivered from Pharaoh's tyranny, are saved by the very water that destroys the Egyptian. The catechumens will come forth from the baptismal font, freed from Satan's sway. Their sins will perish forever in its saving waters. In those days, it came to pass in the morning watch, and behold, the Lord looking upon the Egyptian army through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, slew their host, and overthrew the wheels of the chariots, and they were carried into the deep. And the Egyptian said, Let us flee from Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against us. And the Lord said to Moses, Stretch forth thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and horsemen. And when Moses had stretched forth his hand towards the sea, it returned at the first break of day to the former place. And as the Egyptians were fleeing away, the waters came upon them, and the Lord shut them up in the middle of the waves. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen of all the army of Pharaoh, who had come into the sea after them. Neither did there so much as one of them remain. But the children of Israel marched through the midst of the sea upon dry land, and the waters were to them as a wall on the right hand and on the left. And the Lord delivered Israel on that day out of the hands of the Egyptians. And they saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore, and the mighty hand that the Lord had used against them. And the people feared the Lord, and they believed the Lord and Moses his servant. Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this canticle to the Lord and said, Here the church sings the canticle of Moses. His sister Mary and the daughters of Israel sang it on the shores of the Red Sea as they looked upon the dead bodies of the Egyptians. Tract. Let us sing to the Lord, for he is gloriously magnified. The horse and the rider he hath thrown into the sea. He is become my helper and protector unto salvation. He is my God, and I will glorify him, the God of my father, and I will exalt him. The Lord is he that destroyeth war. Almighty is his name. Let us pray. Let us kneel down. Stand up again. O God, whose ancient miracles we see renewed in our days, whilst by the water of regeneration thou performest, for the salvation of the Gentiles, that which by the power of thy right hand thou didst for the deliverance of one people from the Egyptian persecution, grant that all the nations of the world may become the children of Abraham and partake of the dignity of the people of Israel. Amen. Fifth Prophecy, Isaiah, chapter 55. Isaiah, the most sublime of the prophets, here invites our catechumens to come to the waters, that their thirst may be quenched. He bids them satiate their hunger with the sweetest food. He tells them of the inheritance which God has in store for them. They need not fear their poverty, for the infinitely rich God will overwhelm them with good things. This is the inheritance of the servants of the Lord, and their justice with me, saith the Lord. All you that thirst, come to the waters, and you that have no money, make haste, buy and eat. Come ye, buy wine and milk without money, and without any price. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which doth not satisfy you? Hearken diligently to me, and eat that which is good, and your soul shall be delighted in fatness. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the faithful mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, for a leader and a master to the Gentiles. Behold, thou shalt call a nation which thou knewest not, and the nations that knew not thee shall run to thee, because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unjust man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he is bountiful to forgive. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are exalted above the earth, so are my ways exalted above your ways, and my thoughts above your thoughts. And as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and return no more thither, but soak the earth and water it, and make it to spring and give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be which shall go forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall do whatever I please, and shall prosper in the things for which I sent it, saith the Lord Almighty. Let us pray. Let us kneel down. Stand up again. O Almighty and Eternal God, multiply for the honor of thy name what thou didst promise to the faith of our forefathers, and increase by thy sacred adoption the children of that promise, that what the ancient saints doubted not would come to pass, thy church may now find in great part accomplished. Amen. Sixth Prophecy, Baruch chapter 3. In this admirable passage from the prophet Baruch, God reminds the catechumens, who are about to receive holy baptism, of their past sins, which made them unworthy of pardon. But by his gratuitous mercy, he has vouchsafed to pour out his wisdom upon them, and they came unto him. He then speaks to them of those men of the Gentile world, who were wealthy and powerful and enterprising, and have left a name behind them. But they perished, and their earthly wisdom with them. The new people, whom the Lord this day forms to himself, shall not go astray. Wisdom is to be their portion. Heretofore God spoke his mysteries to Jacob, but this his word did not reach all men. Now he has come in person upon earth. He conversed with men and dwelt among them. Therefore the people he now raises up for himself shall be forever faithful. Hear, O Israel, the commandments of life. Give ear, that thou mayest learn wisdom. How happeneth it, O Israel, that thou art in thy enemy's land? Thou art grown old in a strange country. Thou art defiled with the dead. Thou art counted with them that go down into hell. Thou hast forsaken the fountain of wisdom. For if thou hadst walked in the way of God, thou hadst surely dwelt in peace forever. Learn where is wisdom, where is strength, where is understanding, that thou mayest know also where is length of days and life, where is the light of the eyes and peace. Who hath found out her place, and who hath gone into her treasures? Where are the princes of the nations, and they that rule over the beasts that are upon the earth, that take their diversion with the birds of the air, that hoard up silver and gold, wherein men trust, and there is no end of their getting, who work in silver and are solicitous, and their works are unsearchable? They are cut off, and are gone down to hell, and others are risen up in their place. Young men have seen the light, and dwelt upon the earth, but the way of knowledge they have not known, nor have they understood the paths thereof, neither have their children received it. It is far from their face. It hath not been heard of in the land of Canaan, neither hath it been seen in Teman. The children of Agar also, that search after wisdom that is of the earth, the merchants of Merah and of Teman, and the tellers of fables, and searchers of prudence and understanding. But the way of wisdom they have not known, neither have they remembered her paths. O Israel, how great is the house of God, and how vast is the place of his possession! It is great and hath no end. It is high and immense. There were the giants, those renowned men that were from the beginning, of great stature, expert in war. The Lord chose not them, neither did they find the way of knowledge. Therefore did they perish. And because they had not wisdom, they perished through their folly. Who hath gone up into heaven, and taken her, and brought her down from the clouds? Who hath passed over the sea, and found her, and brought her preferably to chosen gold? There is none that is able to know her ways, nor that can search out her paths. But he that knoweth all things, knoweth her, and hath found her out with his understanding. He that prepared the earth for evermore, and filled it with cattle, and four-footed beasts. He that sendeth forth light, and it goeth, and hath called it, and it obeyeth him with trembling. And the stars have given light in their watches and rejoiced. They were called, and they said, Here we are. And with cheerfulness they have shined forth to him that made them. This is our God, and there shall no other be accounted of in comparison of him. He found out all the way of knowledge, and gave it to Jacob his servant, and to Israel his beloved. Afterwards he was seen upon earth, and conversed with men. Let us pray. Let us kneel down. Stand up again. O God, who continually multipliest thy church by the vocation of the Gentiles, mercifully grant thy perpetual protection to those whom thou washest with the water of baptism. Amen. Seventh Prophecy, Ezekiel, chapter 37. This lesson brings before our catechumens the resurrection of the body, a dogma which met with great opposition from the proud and sensual Gentiles. What a fitting occasion is this for remembering the promised resurrection, which God has mercifully made to us. For lo, Christ is about to rise from his grave, showing us hereby what our resurrection is to be, and giving us a pledge of its certainty. Our catechumens also are signified by these dry bones, which are to return to life, by the Spirit of God coming upon them. They are to form a numerous people to God. In those days, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and brought me forth in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of a plain that was full of bones. and he led me about through them on every side. Now they were very many upon the face of the plain, and they were exceeding dry. And he said to me, Son of man, dost thou think these bones shall live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And he said to me, Prophesy concerning these bones, and say to them, Ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will send spirit into you, and you shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to grow over you, and will cover you with skin, and I will give you spirit, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And I prophesied as he had commanded me, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a commotion. And the bones came together, each one to its joint. And I saw, and behold, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin was stretched out over them, but there was no spirit in them. And he said to me, Prophesy to the spirit, prophesy, O son of man, and say to the spirit, Thus saith the Lord God, Come, spirit, from the four winds, and blow upon these slain, and let them live again. And I prophesied as he had commanded me, and the spirit came into them, and they lived. And they stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. And he said to me, Son of man, all these bones are the house of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost, and we are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves, and will bring you out of your sepulchres, O my people, and will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, when I shall have opened your sepulchres, and shall have brought you out of your graves, O my people, and shall have put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall make you rest upon your own land, saith the Lord Almighty. Let us pray. Let us kneel down. Stand up again. O God, who by the scriptures of both testaments teachest us to celebrate the Paschal Sacrament, give us such a sense of thy mercy that by receiving thy present favors, we may have a firm hope of thy future blessings. Amen. Eighth Prophecy, Isaiah, chapter 4. The seven women here mentioned, as having been set free from ignominy and cleansed from defilement, represent the souls of our catechumens, on whom God is about to pour his mercy. They desire to be called after the name of their deliverer. Their desire shall be granted. For, as they come from the font, they will be called Christians, that is, children of Christ. Henceforth, they will abide on Mount Sion, sheltered from whirlwind and rain. The abode of light and rest here promised them is the Church. There will they dwell in company with her divine spouse. In that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, We will eat our own bread, and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name. Take away our reproach. In that day the bud of the Lord shall be in magnificence and glory, and the fruit of the earth shall be high, and a great joy to them that shall have escaped of Israel. And it shall come to pass that every one that shall be left in Sion, and that shall remain in Jerusalem, shall be called holy, every one that is written in life in Jerusalem. If the Lord shall wash away the filth of the daughters of Sion, and shall wash away the blood of Jerusalem out of the midst thereof, by the spirit of judgment, and by the spirit of burning, and the Lord will create upon every place of Mount Zion, and where he is called upon, a cloud by day, and a smoke and the brightness of a flaming fire in the night. For over all the glory shall be a protection, and there shall be a tabernacle for a shade in the daytime from the heat, and for a security and covert from the whirlwind and from rain. This lesson is followed by a tract, taken from the same prophet Isaiah, wherein he foretells the favors to be lavished by Christ on his church, his vineyard, the object of his loving and ceaseless care. Tract. My beloved had a vineyard on a hill, in a fruitful place. He fenced it in, and digged it about, and planted it with sorek, the choicest of vines, and built a tower in the midst thereof. And he set up a winepress therein, for the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. Let us pray. Let us kneel down. Stand up again. O God, who by the mouth of the holy prophets hast declared that through the whole extent of thy empire it is thou that sowest the good seed, and improvest the choicest branches that are found in all the children of thy church. Grant to thy people, who are called by the names of vineyards and corn, that they may root out all thorns and briars, and bring forth good fruit in plenty. Amen. Ninth Prophecy, Exodus chapter 12. It was by the blood of the figurative lamb that Israel was protected against the sword of the destroying angel, was delivered from Egypt, and began his journey towards the promised land. It is by the blood of the true lamb, wherewith they are to be marked, that our catechumens will be delivered from eternal death and from the slavery in which Satan has heretofore held them. They shall be guests at that banquet where the flesh of this divine lamb is eaten, for the Pasch is close upon us, and they are to join us in its celebration. In those days, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be to you the beginning of months. It shall be the first in the months of the year. Speak ye to the whole assembly of the children of Israel, and say to them, On the 10th day of this month, let every man take a lamb by their families and houses. But if the number be less than may suffice to eat the lamb, he shall take unto him his neighbor that joineth to his house, according to the number of souls, which may be enough to eat the lamb. And it shall be a lamb without blemish, a male of 1 year, according to which rite also you shall take a kid, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, and the whole multitude of the children of Israel shall sacrifice it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood thereof, and put it upon both the side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh that night roasted at the fire, and unleavened bread with wild lettuce. You shall not eat thereof anything raw, nor boiled in water, but only roasted at the fire. You shall eat the head with the feet and the entrails thereof. Neither shall there remain anything of it until morning. If there be anything left, you shall burn it with fire. And thus you shall eat it. You shall gird your reins, and you shall have shoes on your feet, holding staves in your hands, and you shall eat in haste, for it is the phase, that is, the passage of the Lord. Let us pray. Let us kneel down. Stand up again. O Almighty and Eternal God, who art wonderful in the performance of all thy works, let thy servants whom thou hast redeemed understand that the creation of the world in the beginning, was not a more excellent work than the sacrificing of Christ our Passover at the end of the world. Amen. 10th Prophecy, Jonas chapter 3. Nineveh is the Gentile world, debased by every crime and a prey to false doctrines. God took compassion upon her and sent her his apostles in the name of his own Son. She heard their preaching, abjured her errors and vices, and did penance. And God made her the city of his elect. Our catechumens were once children of Nineveh. They are soon to be numbered among the children of Jerusalem. The grace of God and their works of penance have brought about this wondrous adoption. In those days, the word of the Lord came to Jonas the second time, saying, "Arise and go to Nineveh, the great city, and preach in it the preaching that I bid thee." And Jonas arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was a great city of 3 days' journey, and Jonas began to enter into the city 1 day's journey. And he cried and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be destroyed." And the men of Nineveh believed in God, and they proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest to the least. And the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he rose up out of his throne, and cast away his robe from him, and was clothed with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published in Nineveh, from the mouth of the king and of his princes, saying, "Let neither men nor beasts, oxen nor sheep, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. And let men and beasts be covered with sackcloth, and cry to the Lord with all their strength. And let them turn every one from his evil way, and from the iniquity that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and forgive, and will turn away from his fierce anger, and we shall not perish?" And God saw their works, that they were turned from their evil way, and the Lord our God had mercy on his people. Let us pray. Let us kneel down. Stand up again. O God, who hast united the several nations of the Gentiles in the profession of thy name, give us both a will and a power to obey thy commands, that all thy people who are called to eternity may have the same faith in their minds and piety in their actions. Amen. 11th Prophecy, Deuteronomy, chapter 31. The Holy Church instructs the catechumens, by this lesson, upon the obligation they are about to contract with God. The grace of regeneration is not to be conferred upon them until they have made a solemn promise that they renounce Satan, the enemy of their God. Let them be faithful to their promise, and remember that God is the avenger of every infringement of so solemn a vow. In those days, Moses wrote a canticle and taught it to the children of Israel. And the Lord commanded Josué, the son of Nun, and said, "Take courage and be valiant, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I have promised, and I will be with thee." Therefore, after Moses had wrote the words of this law in a volume and finished it, he commanded the Levites, who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, saying, "Take this book and put it in the side of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a testimony against thee. For I know thy obstinacy and thy most stiff neck. While I am yet living and going in with you, you have always been rebellious against the Lord. How much more when I shall be dead? Gather unto me all the ancients of your tribes and your doctors, and I will speak these words in their hearing, and will call heaven and earth to witness against them. For I know that after my death, you will do wickedly, and will quickly turn aside from the way that I have commanded you. And evils shall come upon you in the latter times, when you shall do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him by the works of your hands. Moses, therefore, spoke in the hearing of the whole assembly of Israel the words of this canticle, and finished it even to the end. This lesson is followed by a tract, which is taken from the sublime canticle sung by Moses before quitting this earth. The whole assembly of Israel was present, and he put before them, in words of earnest zeal, the chastisements which God exercises against them that break the covenant he vouchsafes to make with them. Tract. Hear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and let the earth give ear to the words of my mouth. Let what I say be looked for like rain, and let my words drop down like dew, like the shower upon the grass, and the snow upon the dry herb, for I will call upon the name of the Lord. Publish the greatness of our God. He is God. His works are true, and all his ways are justice. God is faithful, in whom there is no iniquity. The Lord is just and holy. Let us pray. Let us kneel down. Stand up again. O God, who raisest the humble, and givest strength to the righteous, and who, by thy holy servant Moses, wast pleased so to instruct thy people by the singing of the sacred canticle, that the repetition of the law might be also our direction, show thy power to all the multitude of Gentiles justified by thee, and by mitigating thy terrors, grant them joy, that all their sins being pardoned by thee, the threatened vengeance may contribute to their salvation. Amen. 12th Prophecy, Daniel, Chapter 3. Here is the last instruction given to our catechumens before they descend into the font of salvation. It is requisite that they should have a clear knowledge of what the Christian warfare will demand of them. Perhaps they will one day have to confess their God before the potentates of earth. Are they resolved to suffer every torture, even death itself, rather than deny his holy name? Have there not been apostates among those whose baptism was once a source of joy to the Church? It is of the utmost importance, therefore, that they should know the trials that await them. Our Holy Mother, the Church, tells them the history of the three young Jews who refused to adore the statue of the King of Babylon, though their refusal was to be punished by their being cast into a fiery furnace. Since the promulgation of the Christian law, millions of martyrs have followed their example. The representation of these three heroes of the true God is a favorite subject among the paintings of the catacombs. It is true, peace has been given to the Church, but the world is ever the enemy of Christ, and who knows but that Julian the Apostate may succeed Constantine. In those days, King Nabuchodonosor made a statue of gold, of 60 cubits high and 6 cubits broad, and he set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Then Nabuchodonosor, the king, sent to call together the nobles, the magistrates, and the judges, the captains, the rulers, and governors, and all the chief men of the provinces, to come to the dedication of the statue which King Nabuchodonosor had set up. Then the nobles, the magistrates, and the judges, the captains, and rulers, and the great men that were placed in authority, and all the princes of the provinces were gathered together to come to the dedication of of the statue which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before the statue which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried with a strong voice, "To you it is commanded, O nations, tribes, and languages, that in the hour that you shall hear the sound of the trumpet, and of the flute, and of the harp, of the sackbut, and of the psaltery, and of the symphony, and of all kind of music, ye fall down and adore the golden statue, which King Nebuchadnezzar hath set up. But if any man should not fall down and adore, he shall the same hour be cast into a furnace of burning fire." Upon this, therefore, at the time when all the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the flute, and the harp, of the sackbut, and the psaltery, of the symphony, and of all kind of music, all the nations, tribes, and languages fell down and adored the golden statue which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And presently, at that very time, some Chaldeans came and accused the Jews, and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever! Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the trumpet, the flute, and the harp, of the sackbut, and the psaltery, of the symphony, and of all kind of music, shall prostrate himself and adore the golden statue. And that, if any man shall not fall down and adore, he should be cast into a furnace of burning fire. Now there are certain Jews, whom thou hast set over the works of the province of Babylon, Sidrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have slighted thy decree. They worship not thy gods, nor do they adore the golden statue which thou hast set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in fury and in wrath, commanded that Sidrach, Meshach, and Abednego should be brought, who immediately were brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar the king spoke to them and said, "Is it true, O Sidrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not worship my gods, nor adore the golden statue that I have set up? Now therefore, if you be ready, at what hour soever you shall hear the sound of the trumpet, flute, harp, sackbut, and psaltery, and symphony, and of all kind of music, prostrate yourselves, and adore the statue which I have made. But if you do not adore, you shall be cast the same hour into the furnace of burning fire. And who is the God that shall deliver you out of my hand?" Sidrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "We have no occasion to answer thee concerning this matter. For behold, our God, whom we worship, is able to save us from the furnace of burning fire, and to deliver us out of thy hands, O king. But if he will not, be it known to thee, O king, that we will not worship thy gods, nor adore the golden statue which thou hast set up." Then was Nebuchadnezzar filled with fury, and the countenance of his face was changed against Sidrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he commanded that the furnace should be heated 7 times more than it had been accustomed to be heated. And he commanded the strongest men that were in his army to bind the feet of Sidrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the furnace of burning fire. And immediately these men were bound, and were cast into the furnace of burning fire, with their coats and their caps, and their shoes and their garments. For the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace was heated exceedingly. And the flame of the fire slew those men that had cast in Sidrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But these 3 men, that is, Sidrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the furnace of burning fire, and they walked in the midst of the flame, praising God and blessing the Lord. The bishop says a prayer after this, as well as after the other prophecies, but the deacon gives not his invitation to kneel. The church omits the genuflection in order to inspire the catechumens with a horror for the idolatry of the Babylonians, who bend their knee before the statue of Nebuchadnezzar. Let us pray. O Almighty and Eternal God, the only hope of the world, who by the voice of thy prophets hast manifested the mysteries of this present time, graciously increase the desires of thy people, since none of the faithful can advance in any virtue without thy inspiration. Amen.